In 1975, then CBS anchorman Dan Rather marked the end of the Vietnam War with this announcement.
Good evening. South Vietnam now is under communist control. Early today, beginning with a jeepload of rather ragtag Viet Cong soldiers, then truck after truck of heavily armed North Vietnamese regular troops, the communists entered Saigon in force. Communist tanks smashed through the heavy gates of the presidential palace, flew the Viet Cong flag overhead, and took men away in a jeep.
The fall of Saigon saw the migration to America of some 20,000 Vietnamese women who had had children with American soldiers. I'm Sarah McConnell, and today on With Good Reason, we hear a surprising story about a small group of these women. Later on, even though they're working whenever they can, many homeless people find it's not enough.
They seem to think if you find your job, you can get off the streets so easily. When landlords want $700, you have to live, you have to survive, you have to have personal things, you have to get your gas and all those other things that are essential. And it's just hard.
But first, during the Vietnam War, many young women moved from small villages to Saigon to work in the saloons there. Some of them met and had children with American GIs. Mylon Gustafson is a professor of anthropology at Christopher Newport University. She's been talking for nearly 15 years to a group of these women. Unlike many Vietnamese living in America, most of the women Gustafson studies reject traditional values. In fact, she says they see themselves as clever heroines who control their own destiny. Mylon, how did the non-traditional women you talked to come to meet American soldiers in Vietnam?
Oh gosh, all of the non-traditional women moved to Saigon during the war and had become bar girls. And bar girl, it doesn't mean prostitute. It's a generic term for any kind of worker in the industry catering to American soldiers in Saigon during the war. So bar girls could be cocktail waitresses or dancers or exotic dancers or sex workers.
And what did they say about their lifestyle that they were escaping from to be bar girls?
Well, if you were a girl in village Vietnam, you could expect that at some point in your early teens, your father and your uncles would start looking around for a husband for you. Your marriage would not be a love match. It was a matter of marrying into a family that would give a benefit to your family in some way. And all of the women said they didn't want to marry Vietnamese men, is what the non-traditional said anyway, because they felt that Vietnamese men were very controlling of their wives and got away with going out with their friends, maybe carrying on adulterous affairs. They didn't want that for themselves. They didn't want to be in that kind of marriage.
You refer to these women as trickster heroines. Why do you use that term, trickster?
Well, I want to be careful here because I don't want to paint these women in a negative light at all. But they started telling me about how the war freed them to be who they really were. And they really did see themselves as smarter than everybody else. And they started thinking of themselves as heroines. And these aren't the virtuous, good woman heroines that you find in Vietnamese folklore, but these were tricksters, people who deceive and manipulate other people, not so much for personal gain, but for pleasure.
Give me examples. What are you talking about? How would they use their wiles to deceive others around them?
Well, very few of them told their families the truth about what they were doing in Saigon. Many of them told them that they were working in hospitals, washing clothes, or innocent things like that. So if their families somehow got enough money to come visit them in the city, they would go to elaborate measures to make sure that the families wouldn't find out what they were actually doing, such as renting different apartments, living with nuns to make it seem like they weren't actually bar girls, but working in a church. Just scheming and being deceptive in order to protect their image with their families, and then laughing about it afterwards. And they found that fooling people was very pleasurable, and they continued to do it throughout the war and after, even when they came here.
What was their approach to their American boyfriends or the men that they cavorted with during the war and maybe even later on American soil?
Well, it's a pretty complex relationship because, number one, they related to these boys because the boys were far from home, and so were these women at the time during the war. They were far from their villages, so that was one of the angles of their relationship. The second angle was that these boys, because they were so young, because they were longing for home and longing for maybe not love, but certainly affection, that they could be easily played and manipulated. And third, now that these women are getting older and they're living in the States, if these women aren't married, they are dating American men. And they found that American men of a certain age are also easily manipulatable because of their needs and because of their, I guess, vision of Asian women in general as being submissive and passive.
What were some other ways in which these women saw their American boyfriends during the war as suckers?
One of the things that they found early on was that the American GIs who were at these establishments in Saigon, they were really, I mean, some of them were looking, of course, for sex, but a lot more were just looking for friendship and someone to talk to. And they found that these young American guys were more prone to fall in love with them if they put on a persona of a scared country girl. They would don traditional garb, and they would tell everyone who was working in the bar at the time to pretend that this was a new girl. And in that way, they would attract these young guys who were looking to not only be saved, but also to save someone, to feel like they had done something good. And one of them said that she was so successful in her innocent act that she had American guys climbing up the balcony and singing to her all the time. They had to move because of it.
If these women were almost uniformly bar girls in Saigon during the war years, what has been their lifestyle in America? Did they work in bars in America for a while?
No, none of them did. Four of the original 14 came here as wives of the American soldiers that they loved, and they are all divorced now. The others that I came to know, only three of them have what we would call legitimate jobs. The rest of them are either supported by their children, or they live with men who support them, or they work under the table, for example, watching other people's children.
Do they tend to live with men from America or men from Vietnam originally?
They tend to live or to date American men.
Give me examples of how they do manipulate the boyfriends and play them.
Okay, so I had one woman who was dating an American guy. She didn't want the American guy to know that she had some money. And with that money, she had a very nice townhouse. She would always meet him at a bus stop and tell him that she had to take the bus to meet him because she didn't want him to know where she lived. In that way, she could, you know, appeal to his sense of, you know, chivalry. Oh, I'm taking this woman out of a very bad situation. She's poor. I can lift her out of that. And so that's what she did. And eventually they did marry. She had to secretly sell the house, the condo, and the car, though.
How have their stories changed over time?
When I first met them, they were in their 40s and 50s. Now they are approaching old age. Now they're concerned about what's going to happen to them after they die. And the Vietnamese have a very distinct view of what happens to you after you die. If you have the appropriate junior relatives to remember you, you will go to the Vietnamese version of heaven, which means you will live in the family home, in the family altar devoted to the dead people in that family, and they'll remember you. That's what the Vietnamese women want. I mean, it sounds very nice. The problem is that these women, in their scheming, in their trickery, have alienated their children. So this has gotten the women worried. What's going to happen to me when I die? Who's going to remember me? And so everything that they're doing now, all of their scheming, all of their energy, is going into making sure that they are secure in their afterlives. And there are two main ways to go about it. One is to rebuild the relationship with their children. If that's not possible, they turn their attention to the homeland, to Vietnam, where they have many, many, many junior male relatives who are willing to make a deal. Yeah, you buy me a house, or you arrange a good marriage with me with an American girl, and I will remember you after you die.
Wow. This is fascinating. So are they striking bargains like this? Is this actually happening?
Yes, they are.
Do they turn their propensity for deception on their own children?
Sometimes, but they don't think their children are suckers. they feel very badly for their children. Their children suffered when they were in Vietnam. So they don't think of their children as easy marks, but they do manipulate them when they think it's in their best interests.
I have an example here that says a woman who used to dye her hair stopped doing it.
Yes. Okay, she had done so many things to her kids that they didn't want anything to do with her. She's in her late 60s, so her hair is naturally white now, but she cares about her appearance. She's still on the dating scene, so she has taken to dyeing her hair black. But because she wants her kids to let her back into their lives, she wants to appear as a frail old lady in need of care. So she's let her hair go back to the natural state, pure white, and she'll hobble around on a cane. And this melted her kids' hearts. I mean, they felt guilty. And so she was allowed back into their lives, but they didn't know that after, sometimes the same day after she had visited with them, she would go out in her wig, very chic black wig, and go out dancing with her American friends.
Oh,
and this was common
gosh.
For her. Sometimes in the same day she would be doing this. There was another woman who really, as she told me, blew it with her kids. They had cut her out of their lives. So this woman had a fair bit of money. So she tried to get back with her kids by renting a squalid one-room apartment in a neighboring town. And she stayed there for 8 months and had her kids visit her there. And they felt terrible seeing her there and invited her to move in with them. Little did they know that she had a townhouse in the next town.
Oh,
a beautiful
gosh.
One. Mm-hmm. And she has kept the townhouse, even though she now lives with her kids.
Do you like the women?
I do like them. I admire them. The fact that they broke free from their villages when they were so young and managed to build, you know, lives for themselves in Saigon in a business that can chew you up and spit you out, that's admirable. And to rebuild their lives again for a second time in another country, in another culture, amidst their own countrymen and women who look down on them, I think they are remarkable. I feel very tender towards them. If they see me as proxy to their children, I see them as a proxy to my own mother.
Is your mother anything like them?
No. She's no trickster.
When these women go, do you think they will take their special generation with them?
Yes, I think that. I think that's true. There's something about these women, that time in Vietnam, and then the experience of being a refugee and being put in what is essentially a ghetto of your own country folk. I think that's all part of what makes it unique. You can't recreate it. And it'll be very sad when there are no more trickster stories being told. I'll have to find something else to research.
Well, Mai Lan, thank you so much for talking with me today and with good reason.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Mai Lan Gustafson is a professor of anthropology at Christopher Newport University.